Ron Richards, reel one. Where were you born, please?
Birmingham,
Which year?
In England.
Which year was this?
1929.
Did your mother and father both come from Birmingham?
Yes.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Birmingham?
Yes.
Whereabouts in Birmingham were you living?
Lowes Elves.
And so you spent the Second World War years in Birmingham? In Lowes Elves?
Well, I joined up in 1946, end of 46.
But during the Second...
Up until then, I lived in Birmingham.
Were you in any bombing by the German Air Force?
Yes.
Can you tell me about that, please?
Nights, raids. There's plenty of activity around, I can assure you. Like mornings, you come out of the shelter, and there was doors and windows and buildings down, and things like that. That's all I can say about it. You was either there when it happened or you wasn't.
What was your address in Lowes Elves, do you remember?
89 Wilton Street.
Did any bombs fall near that house?
Oh yeah. Facing. And just down the road. Wiped out James Street. Well, that was a landmine, that was. And that one off. They was aiming for Lucas's, that was it. But being Lucas's was in a dip, because where I live, the roads ran down towards Lucas's. And, the bombers was after them, of course. But what happened, really, was they hit everything by Lucas's. Oh, well.
How frightening was it for you?
Well, I wasn't very happy. There was one of the biggest bombs dropped in Birmingham, was just not far from, say, from here to the other side of the road. It never went off, but it was one of the biggest bombs dropped in the Midlands. And that was a bit scary when he first come down.
Did you use air raid shelters?
Yeah.
Which shelters did you use?
Burberry Street. Park at Burberry Street. Well, that was alongside Lucas's. Silly, it seems silly, doesn't it? You're alongside something they're trying to eat and they build a shelter for you to go down. That was it. That was your...
What was the shelter like?
Just ordinary brick shelter. You went down the slope, you went in, wooden benches, and that was it.
Did you think the Germans would win the war?
I don't think they would. No way.
Why not?
Why not? Now, that's a silly question. I would have joined the Navy if I'd have thought they would have won it. Patriotic. It was just I joined the Navy to help out. And that's it.
Can you tell me about joining up, please?
Oh, I joined up. My first place, they sent me down to Devonport, HMS Raleigh. I think that's it, HMS Raleigh. And that was the first time I'd seen the sea. I'd never seen the sea. I thought, let me know. Look at this lot. I've got a good sailing on that. I ain't got a clue.
What terms did you sign up for?
7 and 5. 7 years with the fleet and 5 reserve.
So you did your first training at Raleigh?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Very, very awkward. Not being away before sword of stall was You're greeted on the dock, people going ashore with, you'll be sorry. And I enjoyed saying it to somebody else and all.
Could you cope with what they expected you to do?
Yeah. Cope with it, yeah. All right, expected you to do. It was very funny, like, sort of stuff. Still only more or less 17, and I go in a pub, great. That kind of thing. I got a uniform so I could go in a pub, and I wasn't 18. That kind of stuff.
How did the people in charge of the training treat you?
They made you know what was going on, put it that way.
Did you?
Wasn't hard, there wasn't hard on you, but they expect you to do what they said. If they says to you, jump up in the air, you says, how are you? And that's it. And we was trained.
Did the training do you any good?
It must do. I stayed there. And I went on subs at the finish.
What happened to you after you were at HMS Rally?
Went to... Yeah, went to Port. I went to BTD Asdic's Ping Bosun. So I went to. What's the name of the place? Portland. I went to training, final training as Asdic man, torpedoes, Asdic's. Or any underwater weapons.
Is that what you wanted to do?
Oh, well, I did want to be a gunner, that's a dead cert.
Why not?
Didn't really fancy that. Just, I fancied doing something technical, if you put it like that. So, I went as an astic man. Torpedo, squid, all that kind of thing. Death charges. That's about it, really.
Any incidents that happened to you when you were at Portland?
Not really. We used to go out daily on ASDIC training. I know my mate, he always got seasick as soon as we left the harbour. And he was recommended for big ships. And he finished up in a frigate in the Med. And I finished up in a frigate in the Far East. But as I say, I wasn't seasick, never have been. But he was real bad. But he was recommending big ships. But that counted for nothing. He went off in a frigate.
What were the problems of learning to be an ASDIC operator?
What were the problems of being there? My problem was sending Morse. I could never pick it up right there. Because if I'd have wanted to be a signalman, I'd have been a signalman. But I could never get my head around this dot-de-dot and all this learning lot stuff. But other than that, I could follow whatever was there.
About how long were you at Portland for?
I think it was about 3 months training. That was all.
And then?
Back to Devonport.
To get the ship?
From there, straight on the Dilwara. That was the Dilwara. It was a naval transport ship straight out to Singapore to pick up the Amethyst.
What was the voyage in the Dilwara like?
Quite excited, because it was the first time I'd been on the sea, so it was a never seen the sea, and followed it on. I thought, it ain't too bad.
And can you tell me about joining Amethyst at Singapore, please?
At Singapore? Well, I joined Amethyst at Singapore. And was at Dockyard Singapore. And I joined, I didn't get the actual date. But it was April, May, and just went on board and assigned to a mess, a number six mess it was, and, well, I've got a like a little kind of a diary of where we went after that, like Kuala Lumpur, and all the different places all around we went to.
Around Malaya?
All around Malaya, we spent that. We had we was like a supply ship for the little motor vessels, the MVs and things like that. Because they could get inshore, chasing these tonkans and junks, and we couldn't. And they said they'd try to get away from us. So you had to have a like kind of subsidiary, if you want to call it for that name. And they used to be out there chasing them in MVs.
And what was your job aboard ship?
My job aboard ship? Well, just at action stations or just ordinary?
Both.
I was looking after death charges and they used to have a hedgehog. That used to be like a board ship. It used to roll with the ship, and the direct say at least 12 aside, like bombs used to throw in front of the ship as regards submarine warfare. That was my job, looking after them and squid. And that was it, more or less. Anything they wanted to do with, if they wanted to prime, say, a £6 charge for any reason at all. I put a line across the quarter deck, stick me in the back there, and a big red flag. Don't go by him, he's dangerous. That's more or less what was my job.
And so from Malaya, did you then go to the Yangtze?
From Malaya, we went all around Malaya for 6 months. We done the Malayan job. And then we went to Hong Kong. The first thing we done, we went to Hong Kong. From there, we went from Hong Kong. We was there for a while. Then we went up to Shanghai. And at Shanghai, would you believe, we got one of the Chinese dobies, well, as like, they come down with yellow fever. So we was confined aboard and all had to have injections. So we spent that Christmas there, confined to a board ship. It was in quarantine. Nice Christmas, though.
That must have been Christmas 48 then, was it?
Yeah, that's right, Christmas 48. Because the following year is 49. Yeah, Christmas 48.
What was it like being at Shanghai?
Well, I know the rate of exchange was $10. $10 Hong Kong to 100 yen. Then the next time we went to Shanghai, before we went up the Yangtze, it was 100,000 to the dollars and things like that. That's just a rate of exchange at the time. Just an ordinary place. As far as I'm concerned, you can say you went to Hong Kong, you went to shore there. If you went to Shanghai, you went to shore there.
He's not a very voluble speaker.
That's all right.
That was it. I mean, you, as the guys of the town, how far did you get?
What was the place like?
How can you explain how a place is like? What does a sailor do when he goes ashore? Put it that way. You go ashore, you go to a bar, you have a drink, and you come back. I'm not a sightseeing person. If that's what you mean as regards to Shanghai, all you could see was very hustle bustle. Very hustle bustle, and with plenty of sampans around and all things like that. And we was just there with a part of the fleet. And that was, who could I say was there? I'm trying to think what was there.
Anything that impressed you?
Can you take me through the Yangtze incident step by step, as you remember it, please?
I can do that better. Well, we was going up Nanking towards to relieve the consort. We'd already been up there about the first time we went to Shanghai, which I've already said. We went up to Nanking, and we'd on guard there for about, I think it was about a month. And we came down again, brought a few, what was it, embassy staff sort of style, children and things like that. And then we were sent up again. So this is the second time we went to Shanghai. We were sent up again to up there. Now, this time we went up, we had Union Jacks over the side to show what we was and who we was. We had a big flag flying. And we just carried on up there. Now, on the way up there, I think it was around about, got to be about 8:30. Because the actual action started at about 9 o'clock. And about 8:30, we had a shell, or a couple of shells, come over, across the bows, if you like to put it like that. And, look, we just carried on up. And the remark was like, oh, one of them was on the bridge. Well, surely they can see who we are. They know where we more or less innocent sort of style. We just done our way up the Yangtze. And then the next thing that happened, which is around about 9 o'clock, a shell came inboard, hit the wheelhouse, and at the same time hit the bridge, another one. So while we was turning to port in the following the river up, so consequently we went aground, and on that point where we went aground, A gun couldn't bear to fire back, because B gun couldn't bear to fire back because he hit us from like the starboard quarter. And so in that case, I was on communications at the time, because being a depth charges and weapons man, my actual station, not being at sea, because we was going up the Yangtze, they put me in communication between the after ends or the storm. When the shell come in board, and it hit the bridge, put me down, put Captain, he was on there, he was wounded, Jimmy was wounded, the Chinese pilot, he was killed, the bunting tosser was wounded, the other communications kid that was alongside me, Dacker Davis, he was communications. He got wounded. And so, the ASDI cabinet, where my mate was, Shiner, he got seriously wounded. Williams, he was the killer. He was on ASDICs. That man, he was killed as well. Anyway, they said to us, below decks. If you can walk, get down below decks. So we went down below decks. And the first thing I seen when we went down below decks was Shiner, my mate. No chance. Right. Then they gave us... My bandage or whatever was my hand in my top pocket because I was running in the lungs as well. My hand was in my top pocket and that was it. That was my dressing sort of stuff. Before we was told, then, all if you could able, get down to the after ends. We're trying to get you ashore. Well, ashore was from us across the road. It wasn't too far. But it was only a nine-knot tide, and you got no chance of doing anything else. So, we went down. There was one or two got into the boat and trying to help the wounded down, which I was wounded, is it? And another shell come in board. That one took me, smashed me against the bulkhead. Broke my shoulder blades, one thing and another. So I thought, sod this for the game of soldiers. I'm off down towards the centre of the ship. That was a stupid thing to do because that was where all the ammunition was. But in a circumstance like that, you think to yourself, well, we ain't going to stand there where they can see us. So I'm off, like, and as I went down again, another shell come in board, took my legs, so I got wounded in the legs. So I went down, and I thought, that's it, I ain't going any farther. That was like that. And in the meantime, these shells that was coming in cleared X-Gun and the crew of X-Gun that was firing back at an handle, because he was the only one that could bear. A-Gun couldn't bear. B-Gun couldn't bear. And it was just X-Gun, and they wiped that out. And when the doctor went to try and help him, he took all the medicine with him. Cleared that lot, and all cleared the doctor and the SBI and the medication with him. So,
killed everybody.
More or less. So when the next thing, we had no medication sort of stuff. And they come round with a drop of rum to help you out sort of stuff. But I weren't up to that at the time. I didn't really want it. I said, no, I didn't want any. I didn't force it, of course. And I just lay there. And I didn't know until a few years later. And I met the fella that was detailed off to look after me. Because I was in such a bad day at the time. And that was them. Then next thing...
They covered you up for dead, didn't they?
Yeah.
I thought he was gone.
So anyway, the next thing I know, they're going to take me ashore. Right, because they moved the boat up the Yangtze a bit. I don't know how far up, but trying to get out of range of the firing. The consort had come down to try and give us a help, like tow us off. But every time they come up to us, you know, like to send a line over, they were directing the fire back at us. So they, good luck, we can't help you. And they went back to down the river. I don't know how far down they went. But there was a place, I don't know the name of it now, but they picked up the Dirty Duck, the Black Swan. She was coming up to help us, but they got in the same position as consort was. So therefore there was like the three ships that was trying to help, and... it was no good. So then the London Eight came up. I reckon a good feat of navigation because they turned more or less in the own length in the Yangtze, literally, because they got hammered at the time. In the meantime, this, the Sunderland Flying Boat came to try and get a doctor to us and bring us some medication. Well, it's in my own time. So in the meantime, the Sunderland come and tried to help us. We couldn't help us. So when we moved, then, following on from that, when we moved farther up the river, they was able to take us ashore, the wounded, if you follow what I'm trying to say. We was put on wagons, local army wagons, put on there and taken across land to a railway station. I don't remember being put on the wagons, but I remember coming round on the railway station. There was a Chinese nurse, she could give me a transfusion. Never found her name. But from there, we was put on a train and taken to Shanghai. Don't know how long the journey taken. It took but quite a while. Taken there, then we was taken into Shanghai Hospital.
Were you conscious during the time you were being ferried across China to Shanghai?
On and off. And I was in with the captain. In the same wagon as the captain was taken. And I don't know what happened. When they moved us onto the railway station to be taken to Shanghai, I know I was on there with the captain was a Skinner. He was my captain, not the other one. The one that came down, brought the ship down. I didn't see him again, come to think of it. They must have ferried him some other way or something, him being a captain, my little OD. But he was with us in the same wagon. Anyway, we eventually got to Shanghai, taken to hospital. And we stayed, I think it was a night in there, or the day. I'm not sure. All I know is the next thing I know, I'm being lifted on board a Yankee hospital ship. And was onto there. And then from there, we went to Hong Kong. Ferry to Hong Kong and the, I don't know the name of the ship. Anyway, we went to Hong Kong, we went to hospital, Naval Hospital in Hong Kong, that was up the peak. And there I spent right up until more or less September, April, May, June, July. About 3-4 months I was up and in the peak, and then caught the same ship coming back again to deal with it, would you believe, 2 years later.
And so you were wounded 3 times, were you?
Yeah.
In the Amethyst.
I was wounded up on the bridge. I was wounded and down. Look at little holes all over me. I still got shrapnel in my stomach and my chest now. And they wanted to operate at the one stage up at hospitals here. In later years, when they found this. The big piece. I've got a big piece up in my chest. And I've got a piece that I had problems with about a year ago. But I had a bleed. And what had happened, I was bent down or something, and the shrapnel had gone through the walls of my stomach, caused a bleeding. And so, as I say, there's a big piece up in the chest. Like a little bit around.
So the first time you were hit in the chest by shell splinters?
It was the back. It was in the back. Because I brought it to the front of the bridge.